Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey!
How we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, Brendan behind the glass. It is a Wednesday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Yesterday on the way home from work, I got into yet another fender bender, Blankers.
What?
The second one in probably, what, 6 weeks, maybe?
Any middle fingers involved?
No middle fingers.
Just contact.
Yeah, just contact. I was driving right along, minding my own business on 45. I have to go 45 north to go home. Dude just sideswiped me, right into me. Like, his right front tire hit my left bumper.
So not body damage per se, bumper damage?
It's bumper damage, and it really wasn't that much. Like, it's not really that significant. I think I can actually buff it out on my own, and the reflector light came off, so I'm hoping that I can just pop a new one in there. I think it's going to be just fine. But I wanted to ask you guys, and I'll ask it to the Hive, too. Am I too nice? Because the guy was like, you know what, I don't want to get the cops involved. We don't need a police report.
I was just going to ask, because you normally don't wait.
He was like, you know, he was an older man. He was just coming from the hospital, which I could tell. He let me know, too. But he had, like, the wrist bracelets on, all that sort of stuff. Because it wasn't a whole lot of damage, because my car is a clunker, and I'm trying to get a new one soon. And, look, I don't speak for a car place, if anybody's out there is listening.
Hey, hello.
But it wasn't very very much damage. He's like, I just had a wreck like a month ago, which I could see why. He's an older man, shouldn't be on the road. He gave me all his insurance stuff. He gave me his driver's license. He gave me his phone number. He called me on his phone number. So I believed him. I believed the guy. He said, you know what? Give me the benefit of the doubt. We'll take care of this for you. No big deal. And the damage is very minor. I don't even think he's going to have to like do a whole lot. But am I too nice for giving him the benefit of the doubt, for not getting a police report, for not getting the insurance involved?
Uh-huh.
I am?
Yep.
Did I just get scammed?
I've had too many people that make it very believable so that they do exactly what you did, and then they disappear off the planet Earth.
He called me today, actually. I didn't, I couldn't answer because it was right like while we were doing prep. So he's been very vocal.
Okay, that's good. I mean, look, I hope it works out for you. I had two separate situations, but I had one for sure where the guy wanted to keep the cops out of it. And then gave me some kind of fluky insurance company that wasn't really an insurance company. And when you don't want to get left holding the bag, because those bills can pile up pretty quickly for car repairs if you want it done right.
If it was major damage, there would have been no doubt. Because it's like a scratch and a reflector light, like I was like, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But as soon as I left the scene, because we pulled off to the side of the road, like it wouldn't, you know, not total or anything like that. It was on the freeway, so we wanted to get off the freeway so we don't get hit. But as soon as I left, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I just got scammed. But, like, I'd rather be nice and get scammed than, like, be a jerk and, you know, not give him the benefit of the doubt.
And plus, the other thing is, you saying you got scammed, but it's not like they're going to get into your bank account or anything like that. Yeah. It would be another thing if you, like, exchanged credit card information or some kind of ID information.
Because I promise you, at most, it's, like, $200 worth of damage. Because, like, there was no dent in the bumper.
That's
like,
good.
You just need to buff it out, probably. You need a new reflector light. But as soon as I left, I was like, you know what? I wonder if I got scammed. So I sent him a text message to try to give him the burden of proof or whatever. Then I was like, hey, this is Jeremy, the guy you just sideswiped. Just wanted to make sure you had my information so he could kind of confirm that he sideswiped me in case I do have to eventually go to, like, his insurance. He said, yeah, I got
you. Okay, you're good.
So I think I'm all right.
Yep.
I think I'm all right.
Maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe it's just because my car's not worth very much.
Same.
I might just tell him, like, you're good, man.
See,
I don't even know if I'd exchange information.
I was going to see if I could get the stuff out, like the scratch. It's not even really a scratch. It's kind of just like a little scrape. I was going to see if I could get the scrape off without, like, still having the damage. There's no dent there. And if the reflective light goes back in without problem, I'm actually leaning doing that.
The reflective light is, like, the one thing.
Yeah.
It scratches. If all we're talking is scratches, I would just say you're good, man. Don't even worry about it.
I am leaning that way, but am I too nice? 713-780-ESPN.
Now, let me ask you this question. And Hive, you might think differently. That's fine. Do you know anybody that has a body shop or anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the first thing you do.
My uncle owns a dealership, and he's got this dude that does unbelievable body work, and he does it at very cheap.
But also, I want a legit stand-up body shop. because then you take because no, let, hear me out. Hear me out. Because then with the insurance company or whatever, you got the invoices. So yeah. then you send that out. So then you could cash in so that you get the work done cheaply, but you can kind of come out okay on this.
See, I did tell him I was going to get quotes and stuff like that, but the damage is relatively minor. But am I too nice? 713-780-3776. The Astros did play a baseball game yesterday. They beat the New York Mets in the first game of the Gotham Gauntlet. Hat tip Jake Asman for that. Nine games
like
against
that.
The New York. It's good.
Yeah.
They had some people, that some listeners that were giving them some ideas. I thought the Gotham Gauntlet was the best of them. So we're going to steal that because that's what the Killer Bees do. But, yeah, the Astros win that game yesterday. Little two-game series. They play today at, quote, 3:05, wink, wink, 3:05 for the second game of the two-game series. But 8-2 yesterday, Jose Urquidy, second game in a row where he's looked like vintage Jose Urquidy.
You play the music, Brendan?
He did. Played smooth.
He did. You guys make fun of me on this, but I'm telling you, the karma police that follows the hive around, when we do our part, the Astros do theirs, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. I really like it. And your boy played. I was wrong. You were right.
Oh, Yordan?
Yordan played and performed. Look, aside from a few dongs and the fact that your guy still does not make me feel at ease, no matter how big a lead.
Everybody's my guy today. Like, no, which guy
you know
now?
Who's your guy. Your guy, because I think you troll me sometimes without trolling me when you tweet about how good you think Brian Abreu is.
He's nasty.
But he gave up two hits in that inning again.
Yeah, one of them was seeing eye, but it was also to lead off the inning, and then he worked around trouble, showing off some mental toughness.
Glass half full, glass half empty with the Bees when it comes to this subject, like I said. But, look, we said how tough this was going to be if they were healthy, let alone the fact that we were going into this first series dinged up. The fact that they came out of it with, again, Dubon, your guy. I'm sticking with the theme now. Everybody's your guy. Dubon even contributes. And you look at it and you say, hey, man, I mean, look, if they have more depth than we might think, and they're able to be productive, it's a good start to a really tough stretch of the schedule. I'll take it.
That Dubon trade was a good one. I mean, you get Dubon, who is a legitimate utility player in a big league team that can fill multiple positions. He's not going to be an all-star. He's not even going to be like a 300 hitter, but he doesn't kill you. He doesn't kill you offensively, and he might actually help you out some games. He had the double off the left center field wall yesterday. He homered in his previous start as well. I like Dubon a lot, and the fact that they got him for a 4A catcher. I know it's Bregman's buddy. But they got Dubon for Breggy's buddy, Pap, and it was a very good trade. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Jose Urquidy. We talked about this last time. We did the undercover work. He ditched the cutter, right? And last start, ditching the cutter, pitched very well. Today, or yesterday against the Mets, no cutter. He's abandoned it. He's not going to throw it anymore. It was heavy fastball. And he shut down, I would say, the team that came into that game and came into yesterday in baseball with more runs than any other team. And Jose Urquidy, who's probably the least trustworthy pitcher in this rotation yes. right now mm-hmm. because of the entire body of work, had his second straight good start against the best offense in all of baseball. And dare I say that Jose Urquidy is back.
Do you think, in part, he knows Jake Odorizzi's close?
Yeah, maybe.
Because you know, if we're going to go with a five-man rotation.
Got a little bit of fire in his belly?
Yeah, because remember, when I thought that he was drafted by the Mets or he was in the Mets system, I thought I was looking for something that gives him a little extra red ass. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he's looking in the rearview mirror knowing, hey, Jake Odorizzi was fielding off the mound again yesterday because it was the final test before he starts going down to Sugar Land and getting some rehab starts in. It's coming. And yep. so he better get his you-know-what together, or he's going to be on the outside looking in. So it's one thing that we joke about playing the song, but I think that this all coincides kind of with what probably was going through his head. I can't keep throwing pitches that are getting hit. So he made the adjustments with what pitches he was going to throw. He kind of really kind of buckled down and tightened the screws, and now he's got two outings in a row because he knows – it's put up or shut up time because there's too many good pitchers on this starting pitchers on this roster.
He was in danger, I would say, of maybe losing his spot in the rotation whenever Overeasy comes back, but he's pitched very good. I think that it's all part of the equation, right? I think it's the fact that he was trying to discover a pitch that he was trying to invent that just wasn't doing a whole lot for him. Putting more emphasis on the slider. Yesterday, he was incredibly fastball heavy and was living on the fastball and beating the Mets best offensive baseball with his fastball. So I love that. I love the raw emotion, too. He got in that one out, bases loaded jam, thanks to Yuli Gurriel, and he got out of it. And he was pumped up whenever he left the field. That was awesome to see. Yordan Alvarez, you mentioned him. He hit the home run. Don't forget, because I know everybody likes to jump in on Alex Bregman because he's not performing very well. His average isn't very good. But don't let people tell you that he only walks as a negative for Alex Bregman. That two-run homer by Yordan, it came with two outs in the inning. Alex Bregman walking right before him. If Alex Bregman doesn't walk, if Alex Bregman gets out, no Yordan Alvarez, two-run homer in that spot. Don't let people devalue the walk in reference to Yordan Alvarez, to Alex Bregman.
Well, not only that with Bregman, he went the other way and got a solid base
two
hit.
Two hits, yeah, on base three times.
But I'm talking about just specifically what we have been really focused on, which is
barreling up.
Yeah, the fact that he has kind of gone away with going with pitches, taking them to right field. And you could see when he looked back into the dugout, he knew it was a four-game hitting streak because he gave you the four. and he also kind of he smirked, and you got to know it felt good to hit a laser beam going the other way. That kind of shows you the old Alex Bregman is still in there somewhere, because I think me being included, everybody starts to doubt it at a certain point. Like, you're not supposed to lose it at this age, which as good as you've been in this league, but something's not right, and I need a sign that somewhere deep inside, it can come back again.
That single also, you mentioned the one that he hit through the right side. His last base hit of the game, that hard rocket right up the middle. Again, barreling it up, not pulling it, not getting pull happy. I think it was like 104.3 off the bat. So it's like, okay, Alex Bregman, starting to figure it out. Don't let Alex Bregman get hot, because this lineup could be super dangerous if you get like half of what Alex Bregman was in 2019. And don't look now, but Alex Bregman on base percentage, .343. Jose Altuve, .346. Not much difference in terms of getting on base between Altuve and Bregman. 713-780-ESPN if you want to weigh in on the Astros starting 1-0 in the Gotham Gauntlet. 713-780-3776. A couple people on the line, too, talking about that car accident. We'll get to those calls when we return. Did I get scammed? Am I too nice? 713-780-3776. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Also, when we return, Krusty Dusty is at it again. We tell you what we mean when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, am I too nice with this car accident I got into, which is the second car
Roger
accident
thinks you got to
in 6 weeks? Yeah, Roger on the text line, if you want to weigh in, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. He was saying that...
let me get it for you. I have it here.
Yeah, you got it.
You're just a good human, Jeremy.
Facts.
But Blankers is definitely not a man of the people. How the hell is that true?
He's not wrong.
I'm trying to help you out. I also am looking out for your best interest so you don't get screwed over by a con artist. And I'm saying there is a process and a road towards you possibly profiting from this. I'm just throwing it out there. That's a man of the people. I'm giving you options.
I'm not trying to squeeze a few bucks out of a dude that just, it's an elder man. That
you're not
just
getting
left
it from him.
Hospital.
It's his insurance company. He pays his dues. He's fine.
That's why you're not a man of the people.
Oh, I'm giving you options. That is a man of the people.
780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Enrique wants to weigh in on this. Enrique, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. Am I too nice?
Yeah, you're too nice. Mostly because the same thing happened to my wife 2 years ago, and I'm still dealing with a lawsuit about
what?
It right now.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How much damage? How much
because
damage?
Because the guy
car?
Said... It wasn't that much damage. It was like $5,000 in damage, but it was at first mostly cosmetic, and then we found out there was interior damage in the engine. So
Enrique, how much do you make?
Enrique,
man?
Time out. It wasn't that much. $5,000?
I mean, $5,000 if you're making $500,000.
Yep. What happened
to
your Bentley?
Well, no, that wasn't the thing. Well, the thing is, my wife was pregnant, and she ended up going to the hospital.
Okay.
I hope everything
and
turned out
okay. And then we were too nice. It turned out okay. We were too nice with the guy. We didn't call the cops. And we're like, okay, we'll let insurance handle it. And then he called his insurance and blamed it all on us. And he said that he had nothing to do with it when he was the one that hit us.
Yeah. See, that's what I was worried about. That's what appreciate the call, Enrique. And that's the reason I fired off that text as soon as I left the scene. That's why I said that, hey, this is Jeremy, the guy that you sideswiped so I can get some, like, plausible...
But you know what?
That's not the right word.
You know, what Tony Busby's coming in
on? Mistake.
Tony Busby's coming back with you. My client was not in the right frame of mind to understand what you were saying in your text messages. He was only acknowledging that you two were engaged in an accident.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Now I'm really worried.
He said $5,000, and I envisioned myself walking to work for the rest of my life.
$5,000? It wasn't that much. What are you driving?
I mean, $500,000 or $5,000, whenever you're making $5 million, just it's not that much. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like a cup of coffee.
The one that I got screwed on was I was just hired in my first job in Portland, and I had a lady in front of me with a yield sign, and she started going.
Yeah.
So I looked over my shoulder, assuming I was just going to go too. Didn't realize she slammed on her brakes and I hit the back of her car. And it was like a Cadillac. But she acted like it was no big deal. And we exchanged information and everything like that. And I'm making peanuts, like 18.5, my first job ever. And all of a sudden, I get a call from my insurance company. She took it to the dealer and wanted a brand new bumper put on by Cadillac and all these things. And all of a sudden, my insurance company's going, we may have to let you go. I'm like, what are you talking about? The bill was like 75 hundo. And I'm going, for that?
That's nuts.
Yeah, and that was back a ways. But yeah, you can get really taken on some of these fender benders.
There was one whenever I was in college, and we were playing like a poker tournament one night. And I happened to win. It was like not very much. It was like $20 buy-in. I won like, you know, 200 bucks, something like that. And driving home that night, I took a very lazy right turn. Like, I was at a light. I was turning right. Instead of just turning right into the right lane, I didn't see a car coming, so I took, like, this very huge wide turn into that left lane. Yeah. And I didn't see a car coming. And then all of a sudden, boom. It was my fault. Boom. Like, I knock off his rearview mirror, and my mirror got, like, a little bit of damage, too. But it was my fault. And then so, like, we started exchanging the insurance. And he's like, oh, I don't have insurance. I was like, that sucks for you. And he's like, so what do you want to do? I was like, well, how much do you think it's going to cost to get that mirror fixed? He's like, maybe $100. I go, here's $100. I never want to hear from you again. And then that was it. Never heard from again.
You just hope, you know, because a lot of times too, that there's people that'll say they'll pocket the cash. Then they'll still come after you and go, I never got any
money
from
you. Well, I didn't trade insurance with that guy. Okay. As soon as he said he didn't have insurance, I was like, well, you're not getting my insurance. So that one worked out okay, at least in my favor. 713-780-3776. 1194 saying, too nice. Him coming from the hospital isn't your problem. Squeeze him for everything he's got.
That's a man of the people right there.
I mean, I don't know how much he's got.
Why not find out?
It didn't look like much.
Okay.
5627, always get their info. People call lawyers and will claim soft tissue injuries after the fact. Better safe than sorry. I did get his info. I got his insurance. I have his driver's license. I have his plates. And I also got the text message saying that he was at fault. So I think I covered my bases okay for being nice.
Yeah, no, I think you handled it well. It's just that people are right that you can't be too careful these days in making sure that you're covered, because people are out there, and as much as they can pull the wool over anybody's eyes and look the part of someone that is very, you know, unsuspecting, is not going to do anything to you, and then they're going to try and take it for everything it's worth.
I'm nervous. I mean, I was nervous about it. I mean, I really did. Whenever I left, I was like, man, I should have gotten a police report there.
Remember the last time I scolded you for this, when you said there were all those guys in the car, so you didn't.
Oh, that was the
stop.
Yeah. If you weren't listening a few weeks ago, this was what happened 6 weeks ago. This is twice now in 6 weeks I've been into a fender bender. I was at the front end of a 3-car fender bender. It wasn't a pile up, and I had no damage on the back end. Like, I was at the front of it, so I had zero, you know, responsibility, zero fault. I had zero damage, but yeah, there was the 3-car pile up. The car in the middle had like 18 people in there, 6-seater, which was kind of impressive.
Yeah, and you just. You sure it was 6 weeks ago? Wasn't there another one?
That was the one.
Okay. And I was like, no, man, I would have called the cops, and I would have, and you were like.
Well, I think they did. And I was like, here's my number. I'm out of here. I got to go. Because I think I had something to do.
I think that's probably true. But yeah, regardless, you always got to make sure. I got mad at you for that one because I was like, you got to have your bases covered, because when you leave the scene, they can, you know, all bets are off.
That's the one where they went through my car. Remember?
That's the one.
Yeah, they were rummaging through my car.
So you've been through three.
No, that was the same one.
Oh, same one?
That was the one where
they did
that.
Yeah, they went through your car. At that point, now I'm pissed off. Yeah. Now I'm actually looking to drill them.
Well, I didn't realize it until I'd already, like, driven off. But yeah, they rummaged through my car.
That's
how
one that
dare those
off.
People? Yep. Jasper says, Jeremy, just ask the guy for a bottle of Gentle Ben. It's so smooth, it will smooth over the minor ding. That's a great idea. It really is. I think Jasper's on to a really good idea. Also on the text line, oh, that's the one that you already read, saying that you're not a good human being. Which
I didn't say that. I just said I'm not a man of the people.
Yeah, not a man of the people. What's the difference?
I'm a nice guy. I'm just, you know, some people don't like the fact that I was looking for you to make a few bucks on this deal.
I'm just giving you some grief.
I'm good with it.
6133, you did the right thing. You're a good guy. And we need more people out here like you. Might be better off as a whole. ABC Eric. I've been trying to tell the listeners of The Hive that for a very long time. Be more like me. Be less like you and more like Branham. I think it's a good mantra for everybody to follow, don't you?
No, not at all. By the way, shout out to our man Dre taking his daughter to the game today. It starts at what, 3:05?
Starts at 3:05. They're leaving early.
I think they're tailgating. They're probably going to head to our good people at Cobos Q. By the way, we got a remote coming up at Cobos Q, start of July. So we're going to see Raul and be down at Cobos Q again. That's outstanding for the phenomenal food that you like so much.
I do love their food.
That's great.
I want to try the wings next time I'm there. I saw a picture of the wings, and the wings looked fantastic.
That's one place that I'll allow it when they post pictures every time they eat it at Cobos Q.
Hold on a second. You don't like pictures of food?
People go overboard on that. Like every meal they eat, they got to post a picture of it. I'm like, I'm not tasting that. I'm not with you. I don't get to taste it. I don't need every meal you eat on.
I'll be on it.
Photo.
I love it. I'm the exact opposite. In fact, whenever I see something that somebody posts that I'm like, man, that looks really good, I have a notepad in my phone that I write down the place. And like, that's a place that I need to frequent. Okay. That's a place that I need to go to.
I went on vacation with a friend one time, and he yelled at me for taking a bite of my food before he took a picture of both our food, and I was ready to punch him.
What?
You can take a picture of your own food. Don't get mad at me for biting into my food before you take a picture of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I understand that. I wouldn't have a problem with somebody taking a picture of my food, though. Like that wasn't.
No,
your
I don't
issue.
Care. But you're going to do it while I'm eating. I'm not waiting for you.
Where do you stand on if you get your food before somebody else, like a friend, like if it's your wife, if it's your significant other? Like obviously you're waiting for them to get their food. But if like it's just us three having lunch at Cobos or wherever we're at, and let's say that Brendan gets his food first, where do we all stand on Brendan starting to eat his lunch while we wait for our food?
I still am always going to ask. I'll be polite and say I'm going to wait for you until they say no. Don't worry about it. Start. I'm going to be polite enough to say, look, I'm not going to sit there and start eating when you don't have your food yet. I'll wait.
Yeah. See,
I'm a man of the people.
I will always wait. I will, too, always wait. But I also feel like it is courteous for the other people to say, go ahead, start without me, right? Especially if it's something that's warm. Like, if I have something that's warm, I want to start eating it. Like, I'll be nice and do, like, the respectful thing and wait for you people to tell me to start eating, but you're out of line and being bush league if y'all don't tell me to start eating.
It depends on the relationship within the group for me. Like, I have friends who are essentially family. I'm not waiting for them. I'm not, and I don't expect them to wait for me. That's just an established dynamic.
I think Jeremy's right. There has to be communication.
But you
have to get the nod and the okay.
But where it's different, what I was saying is essentially these are people I've gone out with many times. We've been through this enough times. There's an established dynamic that if you get your food, you're good to eat. We don't need to have that conversation every time.
Yeah, it's not really a
conversation.
It's
though.
A baseline.
It's basically a quick kind of adieu to the fact that I am being respectful.
Yeah, I think you do need the courtesy.
Yeah.
So is it Bush League to start eating whenever other people still are waiting for their food? And is it Bush League on the other side? You're waiting for your food, but you don't tell the person that got their food to go ahead and start eating. Is that Bush League? It is what Jose Siri did yesterday, Bush League, admiring his long dong. Was that Bush League by Jose Siri? Krusty Dusty thought so. We'll dive into that next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Siri drives one high and deep to left field. This ball is up near the train tracks, under the train tracks. Train number 26 has just left Union Station, and it's an 8-2 Astros lead.
Jose Siri with a long dong at Minute Maid Park yesterday, so long that he sat there and admired it. He watched it. He watched it sell out of there. Eduardo Escobar took notice. He had some things to say as Siri approached third base. Escobar and then Maldonado in the next half inning, or it might have been a little bit later. But next time that Escobar went to the plate, they had a conversation about it. And then afterwards, Krusty Dusty, Houston Astro manager, Dusty Baker had this to say about Siri's admiration of his long dong.
I wish he'd ran.
Are you concerned about the way he celebrated it?
Well, I mean, back in our day, the next guy would have gotten drilled, or, you know, like I said, should have ran.
Should have ran. Siri would also say that he made an error after the game yesterday. Dusty mentioned it again today because they're at the ballpark getting ready for a wink, wink, 305 game today. But what were your thoughts? Crusty Dusty saying, oh, he should run. He should have run. And then also saying it to the media, kind of throwing Siri under the bus here. And do you think it was okay for Siri admiring his long dong?
I think at that point in the game, the outcome is already decided. I think there's a time and a place for it. I think he did too much. I think the fact that he literally sat there and stopped on a dime at the plate and watched it. And I think you can give a little bat flip. I think, you know, you can still be Jose Siri. You can, you know, glide around the bases. You can do the bow and arrow after you cross home plate heading back to the dugout. But the fact that you kind of right off the jump in a game that you're already, you know, the team's not feeling, you're already pounding on the Mets. I just think there's, you know, I don't want to take the fun out of the game by any means, but I don't think at that point in time that he should have done all that he did.
Yeah, see, I would be more annoyed by the bow and arrow than I would the admiration.
But he's doing that on the way back to the dugout where it's not like showing out in front of the entire team you just hit a home run off of.
I mean, I think it goes both ways. I think that they're both borderline. Yeah. And I'm okay. Look, I'm perfectly fine as like if I'm in that Astro dugout. And if I'm Jose Siri, and if I'm just like a casual observer of baseball, I like to be entertained with my sports. Like, why else are we watching sports? Because we like it. We like the entertainment value. Like, okay, if Siri hits a home run and he stands there and watches it and ticks off the other team, that's drama. That's fun. I'm cool with it. Now, in terms of like the rules of baseball,
well, wait a minute. Are you
Bush
cool
League,
with it, the retaliation then?
Absolutely. I'm cool with
both. Because then instead of, they're not going to hit Siri, they're going to probably hit your best player.
It depends. Sometimes you throw at Siri, sometimes you throw at the best player. It depends on the situation of the game. Like, both things can be true. Both things happen. I think that's, you know, we'll see what happens. And Buck Showalter's an old school guy. And the Mets have had some brouhahas, if we're being completely honest, already this
was
season.
Was the Phillies series where they got hit like six or seven times? And it was a big deal.
They've been in some brouhahas. And look, the Astros and the Mets are going to play a good amount of times here over the next couple of weeks. So I think it is coming. I'll be honest with you. I think it is coming. But I'm okay with Jose Siri admiring a long home run, just like I would be okay if Pete Alonso admired a long home run. But on the other side of that, if you're going to act that way, you have to expect you to get a fastball
right,
either for yourself or for your teammate, for there to be some retaliation.
But I think that's why Maldonado
okay
wanted to stick it. He wanted to get involved right away to try and dispel it, because I don't think he wants it to be anything where they know, as good as this team is, they know that they're an injury away from having some issues. That he doesn't want any bad blood that spills over, because he doesn't want one of his guys to get to dot it.
He was playing good cop there.
Yeah.
No, there's no doubt about it. I'm curious, too, because like I wasn't at the game. I was watching it like you.
Mm-hmm.
The cameras picked that up mid-conversation. Like, I'd be very interested to know who started that conversation.
At home plate.
Yeah,
you're right. Because as much as they had the angle to show exactly what he did, which initially you didn't see as much, the rounding of the third base and when Escobar started talking to him, that was great. But, yeah, we never did see the initiation of the conversation because, you know, like you said what I was going to say. Look, Showalter's as old school as it gets.
Sure.
And so he's got some veterans on that club. He's also got some guys that like to show out, like Lindor. So I'm sure that, you know, there's a multitude of opinions on both sides of it. But I think that, look, I go back to, was it Batista that hit the one for Toronto where the bat flip went like 30 feet in the air? Or the other day I was watching the Yankees when Josh Donaldson got a big hit and the bat flip was pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
But he was moving the whole time. So They didn't make such a big deal of it. When you stand and admire it, it's almost like you're sticking it to the pitcher again and to the entire team that's left to watch you start rounding the bases, as opposed to, like, you're on your way, and then, like I said, the arrow on the way back to the dugout. Look, we see all the multitude of handshakes these guys do with each individual going back. That's one thing, because you're on your way back to the dugout.
Yeah.
When you're there on full view with the team kind of having to lie in it, I think it makes it worse.
The home run celebration when you're crossing home plate has evolved into now a touchdown celebration.
Uh-huh.
Almost every like player in baseball that hits home runs at a certain volume have these you know, crossing the home plate gestures. And sometimes they can be very simple. Clap their hand, point to the sky. Jazz Chisholm, to me, is like the most egregious one right now, where he does the Euro step as he touches home plate whenever he hits a home run. See, that's a conversation I wasn't expecting to have, to be honest with you. Like, what is more Bush League? The bat flip where you send the bat 30 feet into the sky? Or is it the sitting there and admiring it? Because I view the same. And look, correct me if I'm wrong, 713-780-ESPN. I view both of those as like showing up the other team and showing up the pitcher, whether you're standing there
so
and watching
limitations,
it, or whether it's the bat flip.
I think if it's like the game winner of a massive game,
oh, yeah,
then you can
all
flip away.
Off.
But I think that if you just kind of flip it towards the dugout or you give it a little extra spin when you leave the box,
yeah,
it's not. But it's to what level, right? If you take it to the level of really showing out and throwing that thing way up in the air, that's the equivalent of standing and staring, then you're going to face the same consequences.
See, to me, they're one and the same, too, in the sense that if you're going to do that and you're going to act that way and you're going to condone that behavior, which I am, I'm fine with it, you also have to be willing to accept you're going to get a fastball in the back for you or your
teammates. It's coming back at you.
Those are the same thing. They're paired together. Both of those things are paired together. So if you're going to do that, which I have no problem Jose Siri doing that, and if you did, 713-780-3776, old Krusty Dusty had some problems with that. You also have to take the repercussions of either you're getting a fastball to the back or one of your teammates is getting a fastball to the back. And I'm okay with that part, too.
But I think that where new school baseball has tried to take this is from Bryce Harper and Correa wearing the hats a year or two ago that said, let the kids play or let them have fun. And then you see some of the other guys that Tatis Jr. is notorious for it as well, where I think that new school baseball would rather just say, hey, you show out when you do something good. We're going to show out when we do something good, and it's all good. There's no need to be throwing at anybody, and there's just too many old heads still around the game that are saying, that's not how baseball's played.
See, that's the other part of it, too, and that I want to ask you about. We'll get to that here in a little bit, but I want to get to some of this reaction as well. Like Dusty's part and then throwing Siri under the bus I thought was interesting. D. Green on Twitter is saying, baseball is a team game. Siri needs to know how his fellow players feel. He is not in the lineup today, therefore he has put a target on them. I don't disagree with that. I think that D. Green brings up a good point. The fact that Siri's not in the lineup today, I think that there's going to be, if there's a situation where you could throw at an Astro today, it wouldn't shock me if it happens. Now, you're not going to do it in a one-run game.
Right.
You're not going to, and you also, because you do play the Mets twice next week, it's kind of a cheeky veteran move to not do it the next day. Not to do it today. When this umpiring crew, because look, the umpires for this game or the umpires for the last game, they have in the back of their mind Jose Siri admiring that home run. They know Escobar was chirping at Siri at third base. They saw Maldonado and Escobar having a conversation, a cordial conversation, at home plate. But next week when you play the two-game series in the Queens on the 28th and the 29th, different umpiring crew. There's some gap between the two, so there's probably not going to be as much controversy like league-wide or league-wide attention to it. I think it's more likely that the Mets retaliate next week than today. But the point's still the same. You're probably going to face some sort of retaliation for it. Also, the Dizzle on Twitter saying, I paid a lot of money. I like to be entertained. I'll leave it at that. That's kind of where I'm at.
Dizzle was already in his car on the highway driving home by the time we got to that point in the ballgame.
But he heard it on the radio, and it was great entertainment.
Okay.
But you see it on the highlights. You see it on the Twitter. I mean, there's a lot of way to consume content nowadays.
There is. And I think that, look, everybody, I think that the new schoolers, like I said, they want that happy medium. They want to entertain you. They want to feel like they're able to express themselves, but they forget the fact that part of old school baseball is that not everybody has the same kind of feeling as you do. And when they don't, they feel like they're supposed to be allowed to voice their opinion. And in some cases, that means by dotting you with a fastball.
Yeah, see, I think that's where that, to me, goes together. If you're going to do that, you also have to be okay with fastballs to the back. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, yeah, you can admire your home run, and you can bat flip, and you can showboat and peacock around the bases and show up the other team, but then you can't throw at my team. No. That's not the way it's going to be. If you're going to act that way, totally cool with it, but you have to accept the repercussions that come from that sort of behavior.
I'll give you an example in college, right? We had an arch rival of ours, and they had a guy that was really outspoken, and he was real cocky. And before the game, when I was pitching that day, I got with some of the key players on the team, and I said, look, my plan is at some point today, I want to blow two fastballs by him to show that I can sit you down, and then I want to dot him. And I was like, but I'm not doing it if you guys don't want me to, because I'm not hitting. So you guys are going to have to face the, and they were like, no, we're sick of his, you know what, go get him. If they would have said no, then I might have thrown something high and tight, but I'm not going to hit him unless I know my guys are cool with it. Because to the point made by whoever it was, D Green or whatever, or whichever guy said it, Pete Randizel, they're going to pay a price for you, and I don't think that's fair unless it's okay if they're cool with it.
Yeah, from a pitcher perspective, I like that. So you went high and tight, huh?
Oh, no, I dotted him because I got the approval of my teammates.
Where'd you dot him?
Middle of, between the numbers.
Okay. High and tight, man. You're throwing at somebody's head.
No.
Attempted murder going on.
I'm sending a message if I throw it high and a little tight, but I'm not headhunting.
How was your command?
It was pretty good.
All right. Just making sure you're not throwing at somebody's temple blinkers.
I stuck it between the two numbers. I can tell you that.
We'll get your thoughts on this. 713-780-ESPN. Jose Siri was at Bush League. How do you feel about that style of behavior from new players? I'm cool with it, but I'm also cool with the other team throwing at them. Also, Brendan thinks that you should never throw at anybody under any circumstance whatsoever. Also, speaking of Jose Siri, you know he's not in the lineup today. 3:05 first pitch, wink, wink. But I have a wild thought. Jake Meyers is going to come back soon, it seems. But what I would do in center field until Jake Meyers comes back that Dusty Baker ain't doing. All that when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your teams. Our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, we're discussing the Jose Siri. Bush League, to admire the way that he did. Was it okay for Krusty Dusty to throw him under the bus to the media? What do you think about that part of it, though? That Dusty Baker, you know, he's old school. We already know that. But to do it to the media, I took exception to that. I'll be honest.
Why?
I don't think you should do that publicly. I don't think you should throw your player under the bus for that. If you have a problem with Jose Siri admiring it, that to me should not leave the clubhouse. Hey, Jose, don't do that. You're getting your teammates in trouble. But when you're at the podium, I think you no comment that the best way you can.
So I'll take this the way I would take it out of a page of the Kevin McHale handbook, because I think Kevin McHale and Dusty are both old school. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're going to do that intentionally because they feel like it gets the message across better to the younger player. Like I told you about the time that McHale intentionally had me sitting in his office while he brought Marcus Morris in to rip him a new one about being late for shoot around. And I was just as uncomfortable. And I'm like, if I could have been anywhere else on the planet, he goes, I wanted you here because I wanted him to realize the way he embarrassed me by being late. I'm going to embarrass him. So that it reinforces, don't ever do it again.
But
and
even
I think
that,
that's
even,
why Dusty did
but
it.
But even
way.
That, that was internal. Like, you were part
that's
of the family.
That's true.
That wasn't to the media. That
but
wasn't
I also
public.
Think, like, Jeff Van Gundy was a guy that didn't like confrontations, but he used the media instead. So he would send messages to his players through whatever he said to the media. And I think in his mind, he was feeling like he was actually doing the player more of a service than if he had to go at him and yell at him one-on-one in the coach's office. This was just like, you know, if he heard it, then, you know, maybe it reinforces or maybe it sends the message.
That is definitely a philosophy.
Yeah.
Like, people do have that thought. Okay, instead of talking to him man-to-man, I'm going to go through the media and play it that route.
I think that's why Dusty did it. And I also think it might have been different if it was a veteran player. I think if it was a veteran player, Dusty would probably just handle it one-on-one, you know, real quick in the clubhouse and be done with it. But because it was Siri, who's also very demonstrative all the time.
Oh, for sure.
He's got the 100 chain. He's got the 100 tattoo on his forearm. He's always doing his cheerleading and antics. That I think this was probably, and he's not, look, and he's only hitting about two bills.
Yeah. I mean, so, he hot dogs everything he catches, too.
I think Dusty was basically using the media as a reinforcer to say, hey, kid, until you've really made it, slow down a little bit.
But he also loves Siri, and he loves that
but that's
little,
why
like,
he did
attitude.
It that way.
And let's be honest, Dusty's a bit of a hot dog himself. He wears wristbands with his own picture on it, and he wears sunglasses inside of a roof stadium, and he has a toothpick in his mouth. Like, he is basically Jose Siri. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Patrick, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Patrick?
What up, fellas? I think baseball's in like this weird spot right now. Like it's they've got to adapt to the new stuff but get with the old stuff too. But I think they're in that in between stage of where they have to give entertainment value, but they don't want to let the game get out of hand either for player safety. But at the same reason, like I'm not a player, I'll never ever be a player, obviously, but I will always be a consumer of the sport. Dre and I were having this conversation on Sunday. It was like when people were they were telling people that were standing up to sit down, like, hey, I paid my money. I'll do whatever I want.
Yeah.
But at some point, I'm kind of on the fence on all of this because if I'm the guy standing up, I paid my money. But if I'm the guy behind him, I'm like pissed. I was like, dude, I paid my money. I want to see. It's like, so it's like there's good and bad to all of this. But I think baseball's in a weird spot because it's like, hey, you know what? I could watch the game at home for significantly cheaper and have a really good experience. And in Houston, we're kind of blessed to have Callis and Blummers, you know, calling games. And it's really, really good experience at home. But I think the league is trying to adapt to new stuff, but not, you know, wreck it for player safety.
Look, I think it's a good point. That's why, like, I consider myself really a hybrid of both. Like, I love the new school stuff. I don't mind a bat flip. I don't mind an admiration of a home run. But I also understand and appreciate a fastball between the numbers. Like, you have to take both of them. If you're going to be new school and entertainment value, you also have to live with the old school.
It's the old, for every action, there's a reaction,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I think that, to P. Randizzle's point, here's the other factor that is a bigger picture issue. MLB is constantly struggling with how to market and get the most maximized attention and marketability out of their sport and their best players. And I think sometimes you're going to have a meeting of the minds with the old school and the new school and saying, if you guys truly want to see us get to where the NBA has gotten to, where the best players in football have taken the league to and gotten their own endorsement deals out of, we have to be able to do these kind of things that get the younger generation more fired up about our sport. Because most of them think it's long, it's boring, it's time-consuming, and there's not enough action. So the fact that if we can do these kind of theatrics and things and not have everybody going after the guy's head for doing it, we might be able to benefit as a league and individually you guys as players.
But also think of it from like, okay, like we're watching the game today when it starts at, quote, wink, wink, 3:05, that, like, will the Mets retaliate? Now there's like an extra storyline. Now it's like there's more television. There's more sensationalism there, right? So I think that adds to the element as well. ABC Eric says, I don't care what Dusty says. I loved watching Siri pimp the heck out of that home run. I think it's where a lot of people are. But then you have the other side of it. 6389. Siri, for a mediocre player, always does too much for his intermittent production.
I kind of don't disagree. I mean, look, I think if Siri was, you know, hitting, if Siri was, and I don't want to say Lindor because he's not what he was in Cleveland yet, but he's still a pretty damn good baseball player.
And he's got cachet. He's got clout.
I was going to say his resume is already solid enough that what he does, or like a Tatis Jr. does, or some of the best players in baseball, Ronald Acuna Jr., they can do more because they've earned it. Siri hasn't earned it yet. And when you're hitting two bills, but you hit a home run in the eighth or ninth when you're already eighth inning and you're way up, I mean, that's why people are going to have more issue with him than maybe others in a similar situation.
If you're Eduardo Escobar at third base and Ronald Acuna does that to you, he's like, well, it's Ronald Acuna. That's
exactly right.
If it's Jose Siri, you're like, who is Jose Siri? Why is he doing that to my guy?
Soto gets to do his disco in the batter's box because he's Soto. If Siri tried to do that, best believe he'd be dodging fastball.
But Acuna was doing that at the very beginning, and Soto was also doing that at the very beginning. Now, Siri's never going to get to their, you know, capability of a player. He's just not. He's a backup outfielder long term. But those guys were even doing it when they were ticking people off, and then they just basically forced it down people's throats to where this is who I'm going to be, and you're going to have to learn to live with it. And then they earned the reputation on top of that. Eric the driver said, I think Blummer and TK said it pretty well. You can have fun, show out, flip the bat 30 feet, but just don't stand at the plate. If I'm a pitcher, I look at standing in the plate and flipping the bat 30 feet the same way. But you don't, which I find interesting.
Yeah, I don't because you're keeping it moving. You know, you're keeping it moving because some guys would run down the baseline no matter where, if it was a home run or a base hit. And a lot of guys would like to take the bat with them. And they felt like that was doing something for them and their team. I'm okay with that. Because you know what? Most people's attention isn't drawn to you because you're still moving down the first baseline. When you stand there after you punish one and you like are on full display for everyone in that stadium to see front and center, it's a different story.
2662 says that was our retaliation for Lindor trying to take out Maldi. Lindor struck out early in that game, and then as Maldi was about to throw it down the horn, he like stuck his bat right in front of Maldonado's hand. That was
I didn't like that at all.
I've never seen that in my entire life.
There's so many variables here that we don't know. Like, are they boys? Are they tight? Because, you know, Lindor laughed it off. But Maldi could have gotten hurt there. And we know how valuable he is as a catcher on this team with Castro as a backup. But for all that we've continually discussed about why he still is in the lineup, when he doesn't hit well, it's because he's so damn good in other ways. If you screw up something with his arm because you were getting playful at a time when the game was still on the undecided, that's a huge misstep. And I'm an umpire, and I see that. No matter how much they know each other, I at least got to say something going, you know what?
Don't do that.
That's not cool.
That was weird. That was like he had a little smirk on his face, Lindor did, but yeah. I didn't. Yeah, I don't know the backstory there. Nate saying, I guess Dusty only did that because Siri is young as to show him what not to do. Here's the thing with Siri. Siri's going to be 27 years old in a month. Jose Siri is not young. Jose Siri is not a prospect. Jose Siri is a fourth or fifth outfielder that plays very good defense. In fact, maybe even gold glove level defense in center field. He's one of the top 10 players in defensive WAR in the American League, despite playing half the time. Like, he's that good of a defender. He's got great tools, power, and speed. Probably never going to be a good big league starter. Like, could he be a starter for the Cincinnati Reds? Yeah, he could. He's never going to be like a very good player in Major League Baseball. He is who he is. He's a backup outfielder that's going to be 27 years old in a month.
Yeah, no, and I think that he shows you, it's very much the outfield version of Maldonado in a lot of ways. You deal with how he struggles offensively because he makes plays in the outfield. They said the catch that he made in the left center field gap had a 60% catch probability, and he overran the play to make it look like it was a can of corn. But on the way to making it look like a can of corn, he also made it look like it was the new hit dance craze that was sweeping the nation. Every ball that he gets underneath, he high steps and he starts trying to show it out. He's a damn good defensive outfielder with a cannon and unbelievable legs. But he, for the reasons that you were saying, he's not going to be an everyday outfielder. It's because he can't hit consistently.
Yeah, he's got every tool in the book except for contact and plate discipline. Like,
and
he's
that kind of means something in baseball.
Yeah, it matters. It matters quite a bit. I think Siri's kind of like the litmus test in Houston. Like, if you're cool with Jose Siri, like, you're okay with modern day new school, like, flashy baseball, and if you don't like Siri, you're kind of old school. All right, let's get to Brendan's thought whenever we return that hitting players on purpose is dumb in all situations and circumstances. Yeah, we're gonna discuss that with Brendan. Also, Jake Meyers looks like he's coming back here pretty soon. The last day of his rehab assignment is today. But how the Astros should have been handling the center field spot while Jake Meyers was gone, that's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.